You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight podcast. This is our weekly podcast where we discuss issues around the economy, what's going on in South Africa, what's going on in the region, and anything that is going to affect you and your life. Today, we're going to be talking about an interesting issue, especially in light of what's been going on in and around South Africa this year, especially around load shedding, Eskom. I think this week there was a plan that there were leaked documents of a plan to turn around Eskom. At the same time, the finance minister is saying that he's put out his plan and we can comment on it on the website. So power management is a big issue, and fortunately or unfortunately, it's not an issue that's only affecting South Africa. People might not actually, you know, realize or appreciate the fact that South Africa actually has one of the more reliable electricity grids on the continent, and there's actually a big issue in the rest of Africa and also other parts of the world where there isn't reliable power generation. So today, that's the conversation we're going to be having, and in studio we are joined by Seydou Kane, who is the managing director of Eaton. And Eaton is a power management company that comes up with energy efficient solutions that help people to effectively manage electrical, hydraulic, and mechanical power for more reliable, safe, and sustainable power. And then the company actually employs about 99,000 people worldwide and sells products in more than 175 countries. How are you, Seydou?
I'm very well, Mudiwa, and thanks for having me. Greetings to your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us. So can you just tell us a little bit about Eaton? How did it actually come about? It's a very big footprint at 175 countries that you have some type of presence in. How long has the business actually been operating for, and what's your presence like in this region?
Absolutely. So thanks for the opportunity again. So Eaton is a US-based company, operates globally. It's approximately a $22 billion company. We have several divisions within Eaton. I lead the electrical division in Africa.
So what type of products do you offer? I'm guessing that you have products or solutions on the enterprise side and on the consumer side. What does that look like?
So we mainly operate on the enterprise side. So we're a B2B company. We have presence across the continent with offices in Morocco, Nigeria, Kenya, and South Africa. However, we also leverage on a massive network of distributors. Right, so that's how we operate in the market, and the array of product is very large. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of SKU. So as you can imagine, you know, there's few that really make a significant difference in our day to day life, if I can put it that way. You know, as individuals, but UPS is one of the most commonly known.
Okay, so by UPS we're talking about an uninterrupted power supply?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, I usually know them for like the computers.
So you can use them for computers, but also for instance data centers, where you use massive UPSs. Right now, you know, our microgrid solution, and I suppose we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We also integrate UPS solutions, so it's really a very versatile type of solution that is pretty much in demand and very useful in Africa in particular.
And how has the electricity crisis, situation, problems actually fed into your businesses? Because I think, you know, the usual thing of, you know, one man's meat, another man's problem, etc. Has the fact that power generation, at least, is such a problem on the continent helped your business?
So you know, our approach is, our vision is to really improve the quality of life and the environment, you know, through the use of our, you know, technology and services.
Yeah.
And for me, this vision is fit for purpose in Africa.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we talk about power management, where the power is generated is relevant for us. It's really to make sure that we can provide it in a safe, efficient, and provide quality power to our customers, whoever they are.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, indeed, in the situation in Africa is more of an opportunity for us rather than any issue, right? So I think we have a fantastic opportunity to provide services to help people, you know, access to power in a cheaper manner, in a more steady manner, and with a better quality of that power that they receive.
Now, speaking of the continent as a whole,
mm-hmm.
how bad are Eskom's issues? Because when you're sitting in South Africa and you hear about Eskom, you really think things are bad. And things are bad. I'm not saying things aren't bad. I mean, 450 billion rand in debt. They've got an energy availability factor sitting below 70%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, all of that stuff. Like, yes, it's not ideal. But relative to the rest of the continent, how is South Africa doing?
So let me give you maybe just a couple of stats, right? So when there's a study from the World Bank that did an analysis on power outages in hours,
yeah,
per African countries. And South Africa sits, it's a bit of an outdated study, right? So I think 2016 or so.
Yeah.
South Africa was sitting at 60 hours. So, I mean, with the load shedding in this year, for instance, certainly the number has gone up, right?
Yeah.
But just to compare with Nigeria, where you have more than 4,500 hours of outage per year. So that I think puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
And also from a generation perspective, you know, when you look at South Africa, we're talking about, you know, 47, almost 50 gigawatts of generation for, say, 57, 58 million inhabitants, right? Again, if I take Nigeria as an example, you have close to, 300 million, so 200 million inhabitants, I would say. And you have barely 5 to 6 gigawatts produced. So indeed, I mean, with all the issues that are faced, you know, in South Africa, I think it's, you said it in the beginning, it's probably one of the best grids that are available by far in the continent.
And then On the same one, where is the actual issue when you look at a country like Nigeria, for mm-hmm. example? I think a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly, it must have been in Good Luck Jonathan's time, they mm-hmm. decided that, no, you know what, we're done with this state-owned electricity thing. We're just going to open it up to private players and the like. Is it a power generation? Is it a distribution issue? Is it transmission? Like, where's the problem?
Mm. You're absolutely correct. I think Nigeria with Uganda and Kenya, if I'm correct, are one of the few countries that have basically split, you know, generation, distribution, and transmission of energy. Now, the case of Nigeria is one that is interesting because that separation, let's say, has not improved, the situation, of power in the country. And initially, you said you mentioned that generation is the issue. Yes, you know, you need significantly more generation,
yeah,
but we see much more issues in the transmission and distribution side of the business.
Okay.
Right. So if, when we start talking about transmission losses that can, you know, go up to 40% in some grids, when we talk about the aging infrastructure in terms of transmission and distribution, those are really issues that are endemic in terms of, the African grid. And those are particularly some issues that have created so much issues in at Eskom and in the South African grid.
And I like the fact that, you know, we've started talking about this. I think we're going to take a quick break
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for the ads. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're back on the other side of this.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Business Day Spotlight. We are in studio with Seydou Kane, who is the managing director of Eaton. They are a power management company operating in Africa. And just before the break, Seydou was telling us about some of the big issues that are being faced. And we are contrasting the electricity issue between the two biggest economies in Africa. That's Nigeria and South Africa. And he was actually saying that power generation is not an issue in many parts of Africa. It's the distribution and transmission side. So on that, because there's been this big plan for Eskom specifically to break the business up into those three different sections, and you've just told us that in Nigeria it hasn't resulted in any more reliable electricity.
Mm-hmm.
For South Africa, is South Africa better placed than where Nigeria was to perhaps have that plan working out? Because it's nothing new. This is what power utilities have done around the
mm-hmm.
world
mm-hmm.
to actually become more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult question, right? In terms of understand, I don't have a crystal ball to say that, you know, if those things are correctly implemented, what will come about it. However, one thing that is clear, for Eskom and also for the majority of other utility in Africa, is that the business model has to evolve and has to evolve very fast.
Yeah.
Right. So today we're in a vertically integrated, model where you have a generation point, where you have thousands of kilometers of transmission lines, and that same company, takes care of, as I say, generation, transmission, and distribution of power.
Mm.
The future, in our view, lies in more distributed energy, right, and distributed grid, so that you could have much smaller grids that are localized, that integrate renewable, that are much more flexible, and that can be grid tied.
Yeah.
So it's rather a network of distributed energy rather than a centralized, top down generation to a distribution type of model, and that's going to be a key step, I'd say, that the utilities will have to embark on.
Mm. On that, because I like where you're going with the conversation, because my question then is, how do we, because it sort of sounds as if the future then becomes the state utility or a national utility taking care of the transmission side and a network of different grids coming on and building that one national one. How do we prevent an Enron situation where people now start, I guess, manipulating this network? Because at the end of the day, Eskom, for example, is a business,
mm-hmm.
right? And they are a business, they are making money. How do we stop such a situation? Because if I remember correctly, back in Enron's days, they would switch off electricity in parts of America just so that the price of electricity will rise. Yeah,
absolutely. And when it comes to Enron, as I remember, it was more of an accounting scandal rather than an operation issue. But I think, this change is arriving as well because you and I, as consumer, have as well some demands. We have the possibility and more in South Africa, for instance, we see that more and more, customers or more and more companies, when they can, go off grid.
Yeah.
Right. In the statistics, Eskom is highlighting that 1% of the revenue is lost on a yearly basis, and they believe that this is revenue that is not coming back.
Mm.
So the consumer right now are more of prosumers, right? So producers and consumers.
Okay.
Right. So you could imagine a network, a grid whereby you and I will produce electricity with solar or whatsoever, would store that in electricity at home. You're now here at work, and a utility can tap on the stored energy that you have in your house to supply a company, right, and pay you for that. Right, so you can imagine a lot of different type of at a simulation. But the reason as well why this distributed energy is going to be the future, we're talking about, you know, some statistics are talking about, you know, 70 million off grid connection that are potentially going to be set up in the next 10 years or so, is that 600 million people in Africa do not have electricity, and in South Africa you have approximately 20% of people that do not have access to critical electricity, right? So they say they're in energy poverty space. So microgrids and distributed energy will allow to get them energy much faster at a reduced cost. Mm. And from a reliable and modular manner, right? So you can scale it whenever needed.
Are you guys as Eaton active in the microgrid market?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So we call it energy transition. We really believe that it's going to be part of the solution. I think the grid will always stay. We always need a base load, but you know, those type of microgrids are part of the solution. And as a matter of fact, our factory in Johannesburg operates as a microgrid.
How does that actually work?
Well, very simple. Actually, we have solar,
yeah.
You know, PV on the roof. We have, you know, Eskom obviously as a, you know, source of electricity. We have a genset, and we have as well storage with the lithium ion batteries.
Okay.
So basically, the way it operates is that when there is, you know, load shed or when electricity goes off, we can operate without Eskom, independently, and at a much cheaper cost, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, so solar energy right now, the cost of a kilowatt of solar PV is approximately 50 cents,
yeah.
50 rand cents, compared to 1 rand 20 when we talk about Eskom right now. And the disparity is the following. You know, the cost of PV and storage will continue to go down, but Eskom will have to increase the prices. So this gap will just increase.
Actually, on the solutions, I want you to just talk to us about the issue of storage, because I think that's always been one of the biggest drawbacks when it comes to solar power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say, okay, you've got the sun, you've got these panels, but for how long can you actually go?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at that moment? Because obviously we seem to be making progress, as you see, the price of solar has come to a point where it's now lower than, you know, the national grid. But in terms of storage, where are we on that journey?
Mm-hmm. And that's really, really an important element, you know. The cost of storage, the line is following actually the one that PV has followed, and even faster. So basically, over the last 10 years, for the last 9 years, the cost of storage was divided by 10.
Yeah.
Right, and it continues to go down, driven mainly by vehicle, right? So electrical cars.
Yeah.
Right. So. We do believe that it's an essential component, because storage indeed allows you to optimize the usage of your renewable energy, so solar, for instance.
Mm.
But it also does a lot more things,
okay.
Right? So it helps you save energy. You know, for instance, in South Africa, you have a time of use energy. You have times in the day where the electricity cost is up till 3 to 5 times higher than the base cost,
okay.
Right? So you can discharge your energy that you stored and that you got very cheap from the sun at that point in time.
Yeah.
You can also improve the quality of energy that you get. So it does frequency regulation. You can enter into demand response. You can actually help Eskom, and this is the positioning that we have. We really believe that those microgrids and integration of storage is going to support Eskom to focus, on servicing those customers, and also to pull in, you know, from this stored energy in multiple places.
Right.
We really believe that, that is the future. It's not science fiction. It's happening, right? Both for residential users, you and I, but also for companies.
So what's your outlook for this market, specifically South Africa? What's your outlook as a business?
Mm-hmm.
And what who are you working with at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... As an organization, we're very bullish on Africa.
Okay.
I think that, you know, despite the you know, the gloom and the naysayers, we really believe that there's a tremendous amount of opportunities.
Yeah.
To electrify the continent through rural electrification, industrialization, and. We're very positive around that. In terms of customers, our base of customers is very diverse. You know, it spans from, you know, mining companies where we supply switch gears and so on, to data centers. The biggest data center in Africa, colocation data center in Africa,
yeah,
is a customer of ours, and very proud to support them. Different banks in this space in Africa, so a very diverse, slate of customers that are investing, and that we can help to optimize their, you know, their P&L, their balance sheet in terms of investment that they need to do, because power will remain, you know, one of the key driver for the development of the continent.
So should a person buy a mini grid for their house now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it wouldn't call it a mini grid. It's basically a wall mounted unit that comes with a set of batteries, an inverter, so that if you have a little bit of solar in your house, that inverter will transform the DC, so the direct current coming from the solar, to AC, which we can use to watch your TV, use your microwave, and so on, and you'll be able to store. So that means that you can wave, you can ride, I would say, any load shed, and if the regulation change, because that's another topic that we did not talk about, if the regulation change, you could even supply back, so push back, energy back into the grid.
Yes,
so it can be paid for.
That's the issue with the IPPs and feeding into the grid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So IPP, it happened at IPP level, but it can also happen at at residential. So you and I could be feeder for the municipality or Eskom in the future, in the very, very near future, hopefully.
When we say near future, what sort of timeline are you giving for this to sort of become more mainstream?
Mm-hmm. Listen, it exists in many countries, so that's very common, for instance, in Europe.
Yeah.
I think that in South Africa in particular, the network is ready for those type of transaction, I would say. So it's really the political will and change of regulation that will enforce this new reality.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been a very fascinating discussion that we've been having. We've been in studio with the managing director of Eaton, that is Seydou Kane, letting us know about what they are doing in their business. They are a power management company, and he is telling us that the future is going to be a network of smaller grids, and that solar has actually gotten to a point where the cost per kilowatt is actually lower now than the cost of just your normal electricity, and that the future is going to see us having lots of small grids that feed into the national grid, and possibly us as consumers feeding and actually helping the national utility with its issues. It's also just letting us know that some of the biggest issues are in transmission and distribution, not necessarily the generation part. So thank you so much for coming to the show and just sharing your insights with us. How can people get in touch with you, those that might be listening and want to either get in touch with you or actually just know what your business is about?
Our website is the best source of information and connect.
Yeah.
Eaton.com or eaton.co.za.
Eton.co.za. Okay, so thank you so much. That's been us for today. You have been listening to the Business Day Spotlight. You can find our latest podcast on Business Live under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, our hashtag is #BDSpotlight. You can subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza, and from the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production.